You're listening to K-Hum, and right now I am super pleased, as always, to have Betty Chin in here.
Thank you. You mind me here. Thank you.
Of course. You came here last minute. We're all super excited that you were featured in the New York Times.
Yeah, what a surprise. Thank you. And that was really neat. And he contacted me yesterday.
He contacted you? That's why I'm only hearing about this now.
Yeah, and then we talk, and then... Well, I agreed anyway because I believe way back President Obama tell me, say, you know, you had a voice, you had to speak up. So that's the reason I do the interview with him. Nice gentleman, very gentle, and got a lot of detail. And also, I want him to talk to other people. I don't want he just listen to me. This story is not about me. It's about the homeless.
He talked to a lot of other people, it seems like.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think that's better for him, get a picture. And I did ask him, another reason I want to do that because I asked him, why are you choosing me? And he said every morning he sent out the email to the reader to tell them some information who should talk to about the homeless issue around the United States.
And your name came up.
Yeah, and then he said, what happened? The name come up from different states, not just from California, not just from Humboldt County. It's everywhere. And then he said, well, I think you must be very special because this coin readers response from everywhere in the United States. So I said, okay. And then I have my voice. And then I go back to obey President Obama's comment, say, you know, this is a voice for the homeless. So that's why I did that.
Cliff was talking to me earlier today. He asked me if I'd ever asked you about your experience meeting President Obama. And I said that I had.
Well, I tell you what, it's still like yesterday. And he is the president. I really respect him as the president.
I would have been shaking so much.
Yeah, I didn't. But in the real people, when you talk to him, like talk to real people. It's not like he's office professional there, but this is me. I don't know why I do that. And then he's just very calm, very kind, and very observant, and knowing what happened to me, my physical condition, and then he knew about it. And we talk, and so not like the superstar next to you or something like that. He's a human being next to me. But I tell him I had a lot of respect him as the president, and then but in the same way they come by together, so very comfortable. I did not shake in, I did not cry, and I did not just really nice talking to him. A very calm and kind man, yeah, in my own opinion. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty awesome. That's super cool. But so this guy, going back to the article. This is super cool. It's somewhat short, but it definitely tells your story in a nice and concise manner.
Yeah,
which is super cool. I posted it on over at the K-Hum Facebook page.
Oh, thank you.
Were you shocked whenever the reporter?
Yes, I had like a lot of email this morning. They tell me say you're on a New York Times. Sometimes the people interview you maybe not come out, maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know. I don't read. So when I done it anyway, I done, and the people really, really kind in the local community, out the area organization reach out to me and ask me to talk to the organization, how to help the homeless. And I said, I'm not the speaker, but well, I can share my experience. Just be patient.
Well, that's all you can do is just share your experience and tell, and then we'll all come up with a solution to together.
Yeah, I've been again. I had a voice, like going back to President Obama. I had my voice for the homeless. I feel like I had the moral obligation to speak up for them, and then it's not just Betty; it's everybody. You know, me had a super super amazing board behind me, and then they just so wonderful, and they just follow, just work together. Because you look at all these people on the board, Dr. Richmond, Tyson, and like Gallego, Kramer, Justin Zieber, and Jenny, they all super nice experience, personal life, personal life, and then but they put their own opinion aside and work together for the homeless. So that's unique.
Well, you attracted these wonderful people for your board because you started doing all of this work on your own.
Yes, yes. But it's my passion. It's my passion. That's what my way to say thank you to the community, whoever's so nice to me, smile to me, and tip the hand or so to say thank you. That's how I say thank you to the people. I cannot write a name. I cannot write a letter. I never can write a right word to respond to people kindness to me. And then most important to me, the homeless people trust me and let me in their life. That's a huge, huge for me.
Well, that's because you respect them.
Yes, I have to. I respect all the human beings. They are not more than less than you and me. I say the same thing to the Obama, you know, and then that's how we are. And you know what? Trust and respect is a major what I'm doing. You know, trust is really hugely important in this working with the homeless, with the everybody community.
In the article, amazing. He talks to Kim Johnson.
Yes.
Which is super cool. And Kim Johnson was on the streets and he met you whenever you showed up with coffee in the 1990s. And now he's a night watchman for your Angel Village.
By us, he employed by us. And then he is completely changed so much from a heroin addict and all kind of druggy. And then turn around and then come to Contender. And when he come in a Contender, he had no hope for his life. He just waiting for his dog to die and then he gonna die.
Oh, so it was that guy.
Yeah.
And he's quoted here saying that he gave up on life, but now you believed, and then you believed in him and still does.
Yeah. We should. We should. Why not?
We should always believe. And you come from a place. You were homeless for a while.
Yeah, yeah. And nobody helped me. Nobody reached out to me. I had no hope myself. I can know the feeling. I noticed how you're struggling for your life, for your food every day, to eat, to sleep, and the pace, and judge by a people.
That's a really hard position to be in. And then, yeah.
Yeah.
And so thank goodness you're here in the community to help.
Well, I tell you what, I used to bury that so much in my own. I used to run 90 miles a day. I couldn't eat, release my anger. What happened to me as a child? And I see everyone had a good life, or why I had to suffer so much. But helping the homeless people is really healing my own self. Really. And then I no longer had anger. I used my anger to help the people. And then each time when I see them eat, they are not hungry and I'm not hungry. And I still get fat.
Oh, so, you're not fat at all.
Yeah. So that's what happened. I think everybody had a gift. I think that God gave me the gift is help them. I had passions because I understand. It's really tell somebody had a gift to do this job, and I don't have to plan for what happened. Like he asked me, do you have a strategy? What did happen to you or what you're doing? I said, no, I just follow my reason. I see the need. I will fill the gap. That's what I'm doing. That's why I say amazing board that behind me and just listen to me and then follow what I see. I see it going to happen, but I don't know how to go to it. Look at the family shelter. I see the very need. I want to rebuild the family.
And then the need, like it all falls into place eventually.
Yeah.
If it's supposed to happen, then it all falls into place, which is super cool because people believe in you and everything that you're doing. And so they end up finding a way.
Trust is going back to trust is very important. They trust me and hand the donation to me. Every single donation I receive, I make sure the good use. And then every friend they donate the food to me, make sure nothing go to garbage, had to be eaten. And then that's important. And you know what? I had to tell you, we had such a community here. Really do. And I am not the person like to fight it. And then I don't like, if I don't got peace in my heart, I cannot do what I'm doing. If I keep wanting to fight and keep angry, not going to work for me. I had to quit if I get in that place. But also, too, I think about the county, the city come forward to help. This is amazing to me. I abandoned by my own country, my own city as a child.
Yeah, in the article, he also talks a little bit about your childhood. He doesn't go into detail, but
yeah,
he talks about your family being targeted by the Cultural Revolution in China and about how your father fled and your mom was imprisoned. Mm-hmm. And you left the house that day that your mom was imprisoned, didn't you? And you were homeless 7 years after that.
7 years old, yes. And nobody and cannot talk, has to be silent, cannot talk to anybody.
And what brought you out of being mute?
Oscar the Crouch.
It was Oscar
the Street. Yeah.
Because, how old were you whenever you started talking again?
Well, my sister had me watch the Sesame Street, and I watched Oscar the Crouch, and he lived in a garbage can, and he yelling and talking loud, you know. And I try every day, every hour, get my voice back, and then I always believe it. If Oscar Crouch can talk, I can talk. That's what happened. Yeah, I tell you many times, Mr. Roger teach me how to put the suits on. Before that, I don't want to wear suits. I don't wear clothes. And I just cover my body. I don't want to buck up. And I just use something to cover myself. That's it. But Mr. Roger teach me how to put the clothes on and put the socks on and put the suits and the jacket on. Buckle up your jacket. And I always love Maria and Gordon.
Maria and what?
And Gordon in a Sesame Street. And God, they are so real human. See, Oscar Crouch is not a real human. And
yeah, but he's a cool Muppet.
Yeah. I once in a while, I still watched him. When I had a tough time, sometimes if I talk about my past, the voice, lose my voice, come back again. And I would lose my voice. In that moment, I just think about Oscar Crouch, then keep my voice together. And then otherwise, I'm going to loosen up. At time to time, I still go back to me a little bit, but short time, a minute or two. And then I had a patch of Oscar Crouch, then I can get my voice back.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That you have Oscar the Grouch there, and then he brought you back the rest of the way. But I had no idea that that's how you got your voice back.
Yeah. And you know what? I had to tell you, you are so kind to me.
You're kind to us here, too, no, and everybody in the community.
You know what? When you smile at me, when you talk to me, sometimes I want to cry. I want to like you. You are so nice and so kind. And then when I first met you, you spent so much hope with me. I wish I can go back my time young like you. And so beautiful and so kind. And really, you touch me a lot. That's super nice of you to say.
That's super. I feel guilty because I wish that I could come out and I could volunteer more time with you. But with everything that I have going on, I can't.
You've been helping me a lot, and you helped me find my own self in younger age. The woman in your age, I never had. I never remember.
Why? Because of all the horrible things that happened to you.
I never see that. Yeah. So I mean, I see you. Really get me a lot of hope for my life. See how wonderful young woman you are and has such a caring and compassion for other people. Maybe you do that for anybody.
This interview is about you. It's not about me.
But that's what I'm telling about healing. It's a healing. But because that way, and then I see myself as so different states in my life. Maybe you do that to everybody, but when you do that to me, you affect me.
I respect you highly. I enjoy your company. I think that you're an amazing person doing great work. I consider you a friend.
Yeah, you are my friend. And you are my friend.
And so that's why I was so excited whenever I saw your article. You picked up the phone and you were like, I know what you're calling me about.
But I'm slightly offended
that I didn't get a phone call yesterday saying I have an article coming in the New York Times.
I don't know if they come or not. And then because after I email, I done. And then when Ashley, when he talked to me 2 hours, I was sitting in my bathroom talking to him. and then just to finish the morning breakfast. And you know, it's something, it's not about me, really about the people. I feel like if he published, the people would know. If not, and I don't want to put myself in itself, you know, at myself, you know. So that's what happened. It's very, very exciting. I hope open up a lot of people's heart and idea for help, use their own gift to help people. You know,
well, everybody had a very gift. Fabulous article, and I really hope that it inspires Times? Other people too in the New York Times. So high five. I need to go ahead and
thank you very much
and play your song exciting. Before thank you have me crying.
Okay, thank you.